Counting chickens.
Okay, to everybody up at Brownville knew is you're counting them before they hatch. Let's go to James, the Epistle of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. As James writes, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let us pray. Father, we just pray that as we enter into this new cycle of the earth, Lord, as we enter into another year, Lord, that we call upon you, Lord, and seek your direction and your will for every day, for every hour of it. Lord, for we know that you and only you can grant the next moment. And Lord, just pray that you help us to use it for your glory. For we ask in that precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. A lot of people make a big to-do about today, about there being a new year. And as I told people at Brownville, I have moved past that. I've sat down and done the math. And in my best estimation, over 17,000 times in my lifetime has the clock went from 11:59:59 to 12:01. And of all those 17,000 plus times, nothing miraculous ever happened. Nothing earth-shattering ever came about. And so now 47 years in, I've come to the conclusion that I'm better off spending that time sleeping than I am waiting for that clock to change over on December the 31st. And many of you are probably there with me. But before I did turn in last night, I did turn on the late night, you know, the New Year's Eve show on one of the channels, and they were there at Times Square in New York, and there was 1.5 million people packed in there. All of them had on these stupid-looking blue hats, and they all had little long blue balloons, and they were there to watch that 11,000-pound Christmas ornament. That's what it looked like come down the pole. Some of you may have hung around and watched it on TV. But we realize one thing. New Year's is the only holiday that we celebrate that is purely secular. Every other holiday we have either has religious overtones or are national or patriotic in overtones. Every other holiday, think about it, you celebrate either something holy or something patriotic. Except for New Year's Eve. It is the pure secular holiday. And when you really think about it, it just proves one thing. It doesn't take a lot for us to get drunk or have a reason to get drunk and show out and do silly things. But it is a new year. And we have the new calendar. So what does it mean to us? You know, in our scripture, James tells us that we don't need to bank on too much. But there are certain things that we do know about this upcoming year. Our experience and our history has taught us that certain things will happen this year. In 2012, there will be a war somewhere. Preferably, we won't be in the middle of it anymore. But in 2012, there will be a war somewhere. There will be acts of terrorism somewhere. There will be nations battling other nations. Sometime in 2012, there will be tragedies. There will be horrific crimes committed. There will be bad weather, earthquakes. There will be tragedies on personal levels. Houses will burn. Cars will crash. bad things are going to happen. We also know that 2012 is going to be a year of politics. God help us. But we do know that this year we're going to have politics until it comes out of our ears and our eyeballs just want to just explode. We know all these things are going to happen. Our experience tells us that no matter what, in 2012, babies are going to be born. I wish y'all would have a few more so we'd get a few more people in the pews, but babies are going to be born. Huh? Well, anyway, preacher can hope. They're going to be born, but also we know that people will die. 2012 is going to be a year that some people are going to get richer. Some people a year from now, you're going to have more money in your bank account than you started with. But we also know some people are going to have less. Some will get richer, some will get poorer. We know that 2012, some people are going to experience wonderful victories. But we also know some people are going to experience crushing defeats. See, as we enter into this new year, we know that all of these things that make up life, we know that these things are in the cards. We know that these things are going to happen. They are in the cards. But the thing is, only God Almighty knows who's going to get dealt what hand. You know, if you ever sit down and you played cards before with somebody, you know that there are so many aces, you know that there are so many kings, queens, and so on, but only by the draw do you realize if you got a winning hand or not. And only God knows that for each and every one of us going into this new year. Only He knows who's going to taste these things that we mentioned. It kind of reminds me of that old bumper sticker. I wish I had one. I need to see if I can get one made up. But how many of you remember that old bumper sticker that said, if you want to make God laugh, what do you do? If you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. And that's something that, like I say, I wish I had on my car, and I wish more people would understand. Because when we start making plans, we have to understand the one thing that James is trying to tell us in his scripture. That to make plans, you're banking on something you're not guaranteed. And that's tomorrow. You may have all the resources, all the power, all the ability in the world, but if you don't have tomorrow, all your plans are worthless. You know, Jesus tells us about somebody like that. He tells a parable about a man, a rich man. He had a lot of wealth. He had a lot of potential. And he started making some plans. We're told about it in Luke chapter 12, verse 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Think about this rich fool. He had possessions. He had money. He had wealth. Notice that Jesus tells us he was rich before his crops really started taking off. He was already a rich man before he started realizing his potential. He had it all. And we see he had a grand plan. He had a plan to make his place into the biggest and best that it could be. But we see his plan was flawed because his plan, if you go back and read the scripture closely, he was banking on what? He says, and my soul will be merry for how long? He was banking on many years when he only had hours. Now, does that mean we don't make any plans? Of course not. That's not what this is about. But this is about, number one, keeping your plans reasonable. But also, number two, keeping your plans within the will of the one who can guarantee tomorrow. See, there's only some things that we are sure about. And everything else, God controls. There's some of those interviews they were doing with some of those 1.5 million people. You know, of course, don't know how much of it was alcohol talking. But they all had the impression that because they had a new calendar, they had a new beginning. That all of a sudden, because the calendar was clean, they had a clean slate. That's not quite right. You know, we know that this new year is going to bring a few things. We know that it's going to bring probably the Christmas bills we run up last month. I wish Buddy was here, but anyway. We know that it's going to bring a few football games. In fact, if it wasn't for the football games and the chance I might get some black-eyed peas, I'd have no use for this holiday. But, hint, hint. But anyway, and as Jimmy mentioned, we're pretty sure most of the time that a new year is going to bring some cold weather. It's on the way if y'all haven't heard the news. It's we're finally going to get some good cold freeze. But even though we know these things are going to happen, only a fool could actually believe a calendar change brings about a life change. Only a fool would actually think a clean calendar is going to give you a clean slate. That a new year is going to bring about a new beginning. See, because only God can give those things. Only God can change a life. Only God can bring a new beginning. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not just anti-New Year, anti-calendar, because, you know, God gave Israel a calendar. He gave them months to break the year up, because, you know, we need a calendar to kind of keep track of things, so we'll know how to lie about our birth age and stuff like that. You know, we need to have that calendar so we'll know when it's getting close to season changes. We'll know when, you know, anniversaries and birthdays are. We need a calendar for those kinds of things. But we're going to notice that when God gave Israel their calendar, He made sure they begin their year with something special. He reminded them as they began their new year that only He was the one who could bring a new beginning. Only He is the one who can bring a change. He reminded Israel of that when they started the calendar. And it goes back to the Exodus chapter 12, and they're still in Egypt, but there's an event that happens that God tells them that this is their first month of their year, this is their calendar, and they are to celebrate something and remind themselves of something the first of every year. And if you go to chapter 12 of Exodus, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron while in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months. In other words, this is the first month of your year. And it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if you keep reading, I didn't put the whole scripture there, you know that the Passover was instituted. That every family in Israel, while they were still in Egypt, they took this lamb that was without blemish, without spot, they sacrificed it, they took the blood thereof, and they put it on the doorpost of their house, because that night the angel of death came upon Egypt, and the firstborn of every family in the land perished unless the blood of the sacrifice was upon their house. And if the blood was there, the angel of death would pass over and judgment was escaped. So God reminds Israel that for all the years of their existence, every time their new year rolled around, they were to begin every new year remembering that Passover. They were to remember that God brought them out of bondage to freedom. They were to remember that they came from the land of Egypt into a land of promise. They were to remember that lamb without spot, and that the shedding of that blood helped him escape death and the judgment. They would remember all those things. And you say, well, preacher, that was for Israel. What about us? Those are the same things we're supposed to remember when we come to the table. We are supposed to remember every time we come to the communion table all the things that God gives us through our Lamb without spot that shed His blood. That through Christ we have a new beginning. That through Christ we are no longer held captive by our sins, but we have liberty. No longer are we citizens of this world. Poor thing. That was a hard... No longer is this world all we got to settle for. We have a place called heaven to go to. Because of all these things, we realize that because Jesus Christ shed His blood, that we've been pardoned from that place called hell. Those are all the things we are to remember when we come to this table. Just as Israel was supposed to remember at the beginning of every year. So it's always fitting that there's always a first Sunday, and on that first Sunday we always come to the table so that we can remember that as we make our plans and we dream our dreams, that they must include the one who can see into the future. Because it's one of the greatest blessings, and also, I want you to think about this, one of the greatest blessings about coming to the table is also one of the strangest quirks in all the Scripture. I've went on for 15 or so minutes now telling you that you cannot, and the Bible tells us not, to bank on tomorrow. The Bible tells us over and over, today is the day of salvation. The Bible tells us over and over that we are to live for this moment. Not tomorrow, and not yesterday, but what we got right now. But one of the most amazing quirks in Scripture and about our faith, even though we are commanded and told not to bank on tomorrow, we are told we can bank on eternity. Isn't that interesting? Don't make no plans for tomorrow, but we can make plans forever. And only Christ gives us that. We can't bank on the next moment, but we can bank on eternity. So, you know, there's only really one plan out there that really matters. And of all the plans and all the schemes and all the dreams we have you secured the one that matters most? Have you sold out for that plan of salvation? Something to think about as we come to the table. Because no matter matters what this year happens, when it's all said and done, it's all going to rest upon Jesus Christ and what He does. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, intending to lead a new life,